Okay, this is board time, Wednesday, October 14th at 1:35 p.m.
Okay, we're calling the meeting to order. Welcome, welcome. We start out with 1.1, which is approval of the minutes for September 30 and October 7. Is there a motion to approve?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes for September 30th, 2015, and October 7th, 2015.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Okay, new business. This is a draft remote transaction parity letters to congressional delegation.
Yeah.
I believe we heard a summary of it last time, and Councilor Stewart had some, wanted to bring it back. So you're welcome to lead on that if you like to.
Was that me that wanted to bring it back?
Yes.
I think we did some, did we not do some collective rewording?
No. We did on the other letter,
yeah, the
Cadillac tax.
Had three edits, I think.
And
but this was...
Was it because it had come up suddenly?
Here we go.
I don't remember.
Stewart stated she would like more time to research the item and bring it back the following week.
It's because it hit the deck running, and so, yeah, I read it. So
okay.
I'm satisfied that I understand what it does.
Okay. And where we left that is... I was not in support of the letter because even though it described a real problem, in my view, the solution was worse than the problem. You recall that? That's what this
I
is
believe
about.
I believe the same thing. My philosophy of government is is not that of China. Well, you have everybody watching one another. I think government has a role, and they need to take their role. And we shouldn't circumvent our state government in lieu of the federal government if we have issues of lawmaking to do. So I think it should go back to the state of Washington legislators to take action on it.
So were there any suggestions or recommendations that either of you had about how to rephrase the letter? Or
no, I didn't have anything to rephrase the letter. I felt it should go back to the legislators to deal with the federal government. Or they could go back and make state law instead of us circumventing state law and going to the federal government.
But state law, Councilor, cannot accomplish what...
Yes.
The federal law could accomplish.
I agree. What the letters, there was a House bill and a Senate bill, and the letters were in support of those bills, and the bottom line on this is that no amount of rewording would not support either one of the foundation, the basics of either one of those bills. So it's not a question of getting the wording right. It's a question of withdrawing, of not extending support at all for that extension of the federal government to have a jurisdiction in collecting state sales tax.
So, and generally I'm inclined to agree with both of you about that. This does not, however, prevent the state of Washington from going to our Department of Revenue from going to whatever they need to do, and including on the national level, if their responsibility is to collect the sales tax or see that it's collected and remitted to them for products sold in Washington, then they can take the lead in how they think it can be best enforced, as opposed to federal legislation.
And if I understand correctly, we are a part of a 28-state coalition where each state willingly supports the collection of the other states' state sales taxes. And the problem that this describes is the other 22 states that are not part of that coalition. This state has no jurisdiction or enforcement powers over the other state to force them to collect our sales tax or to go after those that don't pay that sales tax.
Well, I think it does need to be a federal action to cause all states to comply with sales tax collection and remittance. It has to be at the state level and an alliance where we make an agreement to do it. And some of those states do, and even some of those that agree still don't do it. So there does need to be fairness and continuity, because the people who do charge and remit it as a requirement give themselves a disadvantage by obeying the law. In case of California, it's 9 or 10 or more% sales tax. So I know that national organizations of all kind are working on this.
Are you finished?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think through the loop on this.
So I have a question that you might be able to help us in. I've seen things that I bought from a magazine that says, if you're from these states, include the tax. Washington is not there. How is it that those states are able to be included?
I would suggest that Washington probably is there, because Washington's not only part of the coalition, but we're also a sales tax state, mm-hmm. and we're also a streamlined sales tax state, which mm-hmm. means that all of our sales tax is collected at the point where either delivery takes place or use. Mm-hmm. And what this provision does, it enforces each individual state's use tax laws. Right now, if you go over to Oregon and buy something, they deliver it at your house, they collect, even though they're a non-sales tax state, they still collect sales tax and remit it to Washington. Mm-hmm. So what this does, it uniformly allows states to collect the sales tax that they are entitled to from their own citizens. Does that make sense? So if you're a Washington citizen...
Yeah, I'm just not understanding why we aren't included in those list of states. How do they get included in that little advertisement thing that you're filling out, or application, or whatever it is?
Because we're a sales tax state, I guess, would be the answer.
But we're not there. California is. Yeah. Vermont.
You'd have to show me a specific
others.
Example. I mean, everybody would be
yeah.
different.
And that's me, I think it's more of a state issue
right.
than a local issue.
And this primarily addresses, because the economy's changing, right? We're changing to where we have a electronic, technology-based economy. And a lot of our sales are no longer, you go down to the store, neighborhood store, and make a purchase. They're these online type sales. And if you look at the growth of those sales from, you know, even in the last 10 years, it's been phenomenal. And in the next 10 years, it'll probably be even larger. Mm-hmm. So how does a sales tax state like ours, where we have this reliance that hinges on us collecting the tax that are due to fund our local organizations, our local needs, how is that going to mm-hmm. happen if we're not able to do that? And so really that's what this does. It makes it uniform across all of the states.
But and it goes back, I agree 100% and truly understand the shortfall that Clark County comes up with.
Absolutely.
But I think it's something that needs to be done at the state level and not at a local level. And if we're part of that coalition of states, why aren't we included in that? I'll have to bring those and show you examples.
Yeah, Counselor, the only way we can influence this, the state legislature could send a letter to the Congress, but we're simply asking, or would like to ask, our congressional delegation
to support the legislation, because not only are we losing the 1% local piece of sales tax, but Washington State as a state is losing the 6.5%, which could fund K-12 education, which could fund who knows what.
It's definitely a state problem.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. I think the state legislature is probably supporting this legislation.
They need to drive forward.
Yeah, I'd like to just address this. All of the problems you just described are they're true, they're real, they exist, and we lose sales tax revenue because of this. Other states lose their sales tax revenue because of this. That's the problem. And the voluntary improvement for that is the coalition where each of the states have voluntarily signed up and say, we'll help each other out. That's voluntary. The federal government is not involved. Federal government does not have authority. They don't have jurisdiction. Each state willingly cooperates with the other. So understand the problem. Understand the solution that has made it better so far. It's not 100%. The reason that I absolutely object to having federal law step in is that for the first time in our history, this federal government would take and meddle with state and local tax law. It would allow one state to have jurisdiction over another citizens in another state. That has never happened with a federal mandate. Right now, with the voluntary cooperation where one state can help to enforce the laws of the other state, that's voluntary. That's okay. But I do not want to expand the role and the authority of the federal government so that now the federal government is enforcing local and state tax laws. State rights and state jurisdiction must be protected because this is a step in a direction that's very, very different than the federal government has played so far. Once we go down that road, it will, in my eyes, be a spiral path. We will not come back. Once the federal government gets its fingers in anything, it's not going to get its fingers out of the cookie jar.
But Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't one of the issues with the state coalition is great, and it makes sense for those of us with sales taxes to come together and agree to do this, but if I'm a state that doesn't have a sales tax, what's my incentive to be part of the coalition? I mean, it's great for my businesses to be able to sell to, they have a competitive advantage to sell to folks that live in a sales tax state, and I have no reason to join the coalition because, hey, we're getting sales for it.
That's right.
And there's a very... thank you for that question, because in that study it talks about the economics of how this mm-hmm. plays out if there's not a level playing field or parity in how this is administered, where businesses, online businesses, would gravitate towards non-sales tax states for that very reason. And that's why, you know, it talks about... the Amazon law and things like that. It's very complex, and we're only seeing a piece of how this is being played out now. And really what it does, it allows Washington State to collect sales tax from Washington residents. It enforces use tax laws already in place, and that's really all it does.
So I'm reversing my position on this now that I think about it again. So what it does is create a competitive disadvantage for our sales in the state of Washington, wherever, whether I internet sales it or whatever. So if I can save 8.5%, which is about what I pay if it's delivered to my home address, I can pay the same price for it coming out of somewhere else and save money because I'm avoiding sales tax. So it's a competitive disadvantage for our businesses in Clark County, in the state of Washington. And for that reason, I don't like that competitive disadvantage. Because if they follow our law, it puts them at a competitive disadvantage. On the other side, it becomes burdensome, and I fully recognize that, for the seller in a non-sales tax state it's burdensome because they will have to file with the Washington State Department of Revenue, and whether they collect any sales tax out of Washington or not, they will have the burden of filing a tax report every month or every quarter, depending on what their sales are. And yes, that is burdensome for them, but they do also receive the profit from the sales. So recognizing that someone in a different state may have a more burdensome process, it would also require them to do it for all the states, so they would have to set up a system. But the bottom line is, do we make decisions here that create a competitive disadvantage for Clark County businesses and for businesses in our state? So on that basis, I would support sending the letter. And this is really a much more complicated issue than it sounds on the surface, because there are all kinds of implications.
Councilor, if I could just make one comment on this, the settlement issue. Part of the provision in the bills themselves provide for a clearinghouse and a phase-in period over 3 years where businesses that have less than 10 million sales the first year, 5 million in sales the second year, and 1 million in sales the third year are exempt. And during that time, there's already a clearinghouse in process which has all of the filing capabilities, and it's part of the bill.
What's this clearinghouse business? See, now the waters are completely muddied for me.
That's the settlement process that you're talking about.
Well, it should be between the buyer and the seller and the state of Washington. So
exactly. What
is this at? First of all, I can understand a transition period where states that are non-sales tax will have to make their own those businesses will have to make their transition to legal collection of legal taxes. What's this clearinghouse business?
It's the difficulty that you were talking about, individual small businesses that would have to file.
But they just need to figure stuff out on their own. But is this a government clearinghouse?
They've done a form. So you go on there, it tells you what the sales tax is in this jurisdiction, in this state, and that's what it is. It's a clearinghouse where it's very easy to find.
Oh, it's not where it's processed. No. It's an information website. Oh, okay, that's different. When you say clearinghouse, I thought that meant receiving and clearing transactions.
Have we heard from our local chamber on this at all? Seems like small business in Washington wouldn't pay attention to this issue.
I really don't want this to continue to make this a political conversation that goes on very, very much. To me, yes, there are complicated issues about this. However, it's very, very simple. To me, this would require each of the businesses that are selling anything outside of their state to file 50 sales tax reports and be able to look up to 10,000 taxing districts and keep track of all that. To have
if
the federal government.
If you're a Washington business, you have to do that, though.
This doesn't affect Washington business. This affects the businesses that are in other states. This is a federal issue that says the federal government is going to ensure that every other state, every business in other states, it'll start with $1 million. The transition filing $1 million, and then it'll end up including everybody. Every business will have to file a state sales tax for 49 other states. And collect that. It's because the federal government is getting involved in local collection of sales taxes and sales tax law. And I expect it will also lead to the federal government adding some federal sales tax to that to be able to cover that extra expenses of having to enforce the law and that kind of thing. I think it's a slippery slope. It's an unwarranted extension of the federal government authority and enforcement powers. And even though the problems that you described, the loss of revenue is very, very real, the larger threat is the empowering the federal government to be even more intrusive when it comes to business than it is now. So I would like to be able to just simply propose that we do not support this federal legislation and move on.
But Washington businesses that sell retail and sell over the internet to people in other states already have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They have to collect and remit to the state they collect from in this coalition. So our businesses are already needing to do that, and they're already needing to file these multiple state reports if they collect sales tax in that. And it might be quarterly. It's probably quarterly because of the amounts that we would be talking about. But our businesses already have to do that. So
what we're talking about is if you have a business and you sell something to one of the 49 other states, you will have to look up and see exactly what sales tax to collect from that state.
And our businesses are doing that.
No, they're doing it for our state, and they're doing it for voluntarily for the other states in the coalition. But when they're done, they collect so much at the end of the month, or end of the quarter, they would end up having to file however many state sales tax states there are. Let's say that's 45. 45 tax returns for 45 other states. Submit checks to each one of those in whatever small amount it may be, and fill out their forms. And to me, that is the huge business killer, because so many businesses are spending so much of their time doing reports and submitting forms to the all levels of government. This is one more, and it's multiplied times. Do you know how many states there are that collect sales tax?
45.
But our
reports.
Businesses are already doing that for our other coalition
Actually,
states.
They're not. well, they could very well be, but multiply that times, if we go from 28 to 45 or 27 to 45, and now we our businesses are having to do something, a regular report, 45 different states, or 44 different states if you don't include their own, 44 different checks every quarter or however they have to, every time they have to report. And instead of doing business, they're going to be filling out tax reports and sending checks to all the other states. Small businesses.
Well, and our businesses in Washington are legally bound to do that to the states where there are residents that live in a state with a comparable sales tax. And I know about how burdensome tax reports are because I had to fill them out quarterly, at least quarterly, for 29 years. And I saw them change and morph and have more and more pages and be more and more complicated. Doing them by hand.
Mm-hmm.
I have no illusions about how burdensome and timely that is. But our own businesses are already doing that.
Well, actually, our own businesses are voluntarily doing that for others in the coalition. But they are not required to do that. And this state has no jurisdiction, no enforcement ability to force any business in this state to pay sales tax in any other state, to any other state. It's voluntary. Is that correct?
Under the terms of the agreement, we actually are doing that.
It's
a binding agreement.
It's a binding agreement between the states and those that sign up. But anyway, I'd like to be able to move on. I don't support it. Can we move on? I'm assuming I don't speak for the other two. So I'd like to be able to hear from my colleagues.
I would like to give one more example. I own an interstate trucking company. And the states put together an agreement to pay road taxes. And so I only filed one road tax with the state of Washington, and they divvied it up, so it wasn't that complicated. But it was done by the states, and I think this is very similar, that you see that little sticker on the side of a truck, that's what that means, that's their fuel tax thing. It's there. And they're in agreement with all the other states, and so whenever you run those states or license in those states, well, you just fill out your monthly, because I have to do a a monthly road tax. A lot of people aren't aware of that. I pay more in road taxes every month than most people pay for license. So, but it's done by the states and the coalition of the states put together, and that's why this should be done. So I'd like to support a letter just like this with the state legislators on it. And I'd like to start there.
I think we're talking about another topic when it comes to state. So for this topic has to do with the federal government having jurisdiction over the states in this. So that's what the letter is. And is it okay if we move on?
Yeah, we're done with that.
Okay, thank you. 2.2, islands impacting commercial property.
So we've had this now, I think, 4 or more weeks before us. And one of the things I go back and our ordinance truly says that we have a precedent, or we have to reach a standard of safety concern or safety thing. And I don't think that we've really focused on that. In fact, some of the earlier conversations we said, oh, I heard about that ordinance, but I never saw it. So I don't think it was directed at that way. I think it's really important that when we come to these more concerned islands that block access to commercial, that our staff comes to us and argues the safety as to why we need to circumvent the ordinance that we have. The one that we have actively today is that Chevron station. I understand that there's still a conversation going on. I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, I understand that as we work through this, and if they put something together or whatever goes together, that there'll be a contract with us and the Chevron station for reimbursement, and that we're not going to put islands up there for a year. Am I hearing right? Because I didn't hear from you. And we're along that right line?
That's not exactly what the information was that I obtained. The understanding I had is that for the rest of this building year, that it's my understanding that there's sufficient work outside of the median, and the shortness of the remaining construction season is such that it won't be built through the remainder of this year into the beginning of next building season. It's not for a year, meaning next October.
Right.
It will be done before that. But the hope was that within that time, that it buys us months, and within that time period, some alternative arrangement can be made so it takes the immediate problem away and buys us the opportunity to work on a longer range solution, of which there are a couple of different things being explored.
Agree. So, so it's our understanding that in this interim, I would encourage our staff, Mark, to come back and establish a safety problem with this particular one, Chevron, that we're talking about now. I know of many that are much worse than this that I would support wholeheartedly. 50 feet from the corner after the signal light. One, when the signal light is starting off, it's much more different than a signal light that's accelerated in the driveway on the other side. We have those, and we haven't done anything to stop those. So I think that it's going to be a work in progress. I think we have to have a better understanding of the intent of the board of commissioners at the time that did this. And I want to be working with you, Mark, and Public Works as we refine this in the interim, what other stuff might be done.
In other words, you want to work with one-on-one with Mark and with
I think that somewhere down the way, I mean, we already have legal and Public Works working along with the property owner to resolve this, but in the interim, I would like to invite Public Works through Mark to come back to us and express to us in the Chevron thing, where is the safety issue of concern when I see so many more others? That's what we'd work on during the interim and talk about during the interim, but right now we are not going to be doing it for several months, and hopefully by then we will have reached a decision, or there could have been a decision, an agreement, and a contract put together with the Chevron, who's having to purchase land and create a new driveway. All this will be done or may not be done, and we'll have a better picture. Then we'll also know what we need to look at to still be business friendly and still operate in a safe manner. So I think I don't think I have to make a motion to that effect. I think we're all in agreement, and so that's the direction that we're going.
So I recognize that this is you've invested a lot of work in this, and this is your project, and however you want to lead on that is you have my full support.
Question.
So well, what was the resolution?
Well, I wasn't going to come up with one. I think that we're in the progress of solving
I
the problem.
So too.
But in the interim, I think we're going to come back at a later time and address some issues that I had.
Okay.
And as we go forward, so we don't run into this again. So we're on the same page with Public Works when we're looking at recognizing safety.
Yes, and we do know that some progress might be being made in another venue, and
yes,
we know that our Public Works is actively looking at this, so I agree we don't
need a resolution. Chris's court right now, I think, working with Mr. Hornstein, working with the neighbor. I think our PW has backed out now.
Not exactly. In order to sweeten the deal, and I don't want to get into executive session material here, but just understand that we are trying to give Mr. Hornstein additional leverage in the discussion.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Sure.
That might be the impression we give as we don't delay. We're just not prepared to put that barriers up there. The owner that we're having difficulty with might look at maybe we're not putting those up, so maybe he might want to negotiate. So I think that we're okay with the direction we're going.
Okay.
But I'll call for different works down the road.
Okay. And Tom, you and I are both getting calls from other similar type establishments that could be faced with similar complications in their future. So it's good that we look at this in the specifics and in the bigger picture as well, so that we can understand what can be done, when it can be done, even if it can be done.
I want to thank Public Works. I know they worked really hard on this.
Yes, mm-hmm. Good job, excellent.
Chris,
job.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah, you too, Mike.
Mr. Afterthought.
Okay, is that it, Tom?
That's it.
Okay. And Councilor Reports, you would like to go first?
We're not going to do the dogs.
Impacting commercial property?
I was informed just minutes ago that it's not prepared. And you want to bring it back maybe next week? Or
Well, it's not on your agenda yet, but if you want me to cover that. Do you have a request from
the work
development
session?
Requesting a work session at the scheduled hearing? But I've talked to a couple of you, and there's still some questions about some of the code language, so you didn't want to proceed with scheduling a hearing until we resolve that. So I can continue to work with them and address any of your concerns prior to scheduling a work session or hearing.
That's sure.
Of course.
Who specifically is working on it?
I'm working with Paul Scarpelli and his group and Marty Stone.
So will this be part of what I've asked you for? Is the proposed or what might look like an RFP out there for animal control?
No, this is just...
That's not this?
No, this is cleanup to the code.
Oh, okay.
Is that 4.0?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we're done with that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Councilor Reports, anything else? Councilor
no,
Stewart?
No, for the sake of time today, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm drained.
You're good?
I'm drained.
Okay.
This part-time job is getting the best of me.
Yeah.
Does Mr. Chair have anything?
No, sir. I've got my triple time job is not getting the best of me. I'm trying to get the best of it. Okay. Yeah, you have anything?
I do. this is Councilor Mielke's day. He had a couple of properties he was really hot on to dispose of, one of which was 88th Street and Highway 99, and that's in the rearview mirror. Miller Paint, the chiropractor who occupies the building just to the south of the Miller Paint building, is delivering earnest money today to the title company, and we will close on that property on 4 January
that
next
year.
That
must have been that other buyer we brought in.
Put a little pressure on him.
That's great. That's great. So, good job.
So
good job.
Awesome. Yeah, well, Pam Mason is the one that got the high five from me today on that. Mm-hmm. Because, good. You know, she got Amy Bice to sign the paperwork on that Brush Prairie Bridge, and she got this guy to buy the property. So, many kudos to Pam. I've already given her mine. So,
all about relationships.
It is.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure it comes back to general fund.
Well, it'll be. Yeah. You almost had me on the hook there.
So one of the things I do want to bring up as we go down the road, and we're not there yet, and that's the Dolly Building.
Oh.
To recognize that, I think we're waiting to assign that to a seller.
We've identified some improvements to that building that will improve its marketability, and I think
we may be asking.
Pardon?
Hopefully only curb appearance. I don't want to rebuild it and then still sell it for a low dollar.
No. Bob Stevens can fill you in on what improved. Well, okay. We're actually going to ask the board for a little bit of budget authority to accomplish that. And then whatever budget authority you give us will be repaid out of the proceeds of the sale.
Yeah, return on investment. There are some dry rot.
I'd like to have you bring back more information on
that. I'll have Bob talk to you about that.
I love buying fixer-uppers. and I think other people do, too. So
But there's some investments.
I have some concerns.
There's some things.
There's some. If you put a dollar in, you get $2 back. You don't want to remodel a bathroom.
Okay.
Maybe a kitchen. But.
Okay. Great job.
Okay,
thank
anything
you.
Else?
I know, sir.
Anyone else have anything? Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
We are going into executive session.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you very much for that. Always keep me on track. So
we're not adjourning.
We're going to pause. What's the proper term? Is it recess? What are we going to do?
Just adjourn to go into public session, and we'll return from public session in...
We scheduled an hour.
Okay. Okay. And Chris, can you announce the purpose and the length of time that you recommend?
Potential litigation for an hour or however long it takes.
Well, let's start out with an hour. I don't think it'll take any longer than that.
Okay.
Do we expect litigation or actions when we come out?
No.
We're not going to be asking the board to take a vote on any particular matter.
That's important for them.
So once the session's over, we'll reconvene simply to adjourn.
Okay.
Right.
You can thank me for that later.
Chris.
Katie?
Yeah.
Okay. We are adjourned and heading into executive session.
And Heath, while you're filling those out...